Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody! Recruiting Animal here, July 22, 2009. And, you know, sometimes I think I must be giving off the wrong kind of vibe because people meet me and for some reason they think I'm the kind of guy they can call up and tell their troubles to whenever they want. And really, I'm not. I'm not. That's not my forte. I have some strengths. That's not one of them. Because after I hear their stupid problems, I just want to tell them they're dumb. You know what I'm saying? It must have happened to you, too. But I've got a friend. He calls me all the time, but he doesn't want to talk about his personal problems. No, he just wants to use me as a sounding board for whatever's bugging him that day. He thinks that's okay. And really, it's not so bad because whatever's bugging him is whatever he sees on Twitter. That's it. It's not his personal life. And the other day he called me and he said, Animal, I just don't know what's wrong with America. We're fat. We're lazy. We have to bring Mexicans in to do the work we won't do ourselves. Now you can't even go to the washroom without having a coach to hold your hand. They're whipping our asses over in China, he said. And you know why? Because they've got the pioneer spirit, and we don't. We don't. You know what we are? We're just a bunch of pampered fat cats and sissies. And we're on our way down, Animal, he said. Well, this guy was so worked up. Maybe I've given you an idea of what it was like listening to him. He was so worked up that just to calm him down, I decided to axe some people who use coaches to come on the show and let us see if what he was saying was really true. Are coaches a sign of decadence in America? I don't know because I've never used a coach. I don't know what coaches even do. So I asked my Twitter friend, Jill Ellswick, to be the main guest today because she uses a life coach and a business coach. They're both the same person. I don't understand how. She's going to tell us why, but she's not a recruiter. And I know I'd be criticized for that because we're not talking about recruiting. So I asked some recruiters to come on as well, people who use coaches, and I know them and you do too. There's JJ McClure, the Cincy recruiter. She's a former VP of HR. I understand a lot of coaching comes out of HR, good or bad. And the other guy is Kevin Kermesh. He's a former Army captain, and I just can't wait to ask Kevin if he's a 60 like my pal says. But first, let me ask you this. Jerry, do you know what show this is?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Jill Ellswick, are
yes.
you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Good.
Nice
can
to meet
you.
Yes, I can
nice
hear you
meet
perfectly.
You.
Yeah.
Good. I'll have to see if I can hear you. Just be ready for
can
the
you hear me?
Play.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
A little clearer. Maybe you're on a cheap line. I don't know.
Well, I'm on. I use Vonage, and I've also got a headset on. Maybe
yeah,
I need to.
Oh, Vonage, that stinks. Don't you have a long distance plan?
No.
Okay. But, okay. You're supposed to be the star of the show. If we can't hear you clearly, it's not my fault.
Well, crap. We should have tested.
There's some other people here. Let me introduce them, okay? You got to learn some manners if you're going to be on the Recruiting Animal Show.
Oh, I know. There. Whoops. Sorry.
Yeah. Cincy Recruiter, are you there?
Cincy Recruiter in the house.
In the house. Good. Glad to have you here. Kevin Kermesh.
I am
handy.
Here, sir. I am here.
Okay, now. I'm not going to give out a lot of websites right now. I learned from Bill Boorman, don't take a lot of time for the introductions. Just get right to it. But I do want to give out your Twitter addresses. Jill Ellswick, is that Jill Ellswick? Go to recruitinganimal.com if you want to see how to spell her name. Cincy Recruiter and Kevin Kermesh. You'll never spell his name. It's on Mike's site. Everybody just go there. Now, let me ask you this. You know, I told you guys, before we go into it, I do want to tell you something. People call me up, and I don't know how to help them. A guy called me the other day. He's one religion. His wife is another. And he told his wife one day, I guess we're going to be buried in different cemeteries. And she said, we're not going to be together for eternity. And he said, I guess not. And now she's really mad at him, and they're not talking. So what am I supposed to say that isn't insulting? Anybody got an idea? No. See, I was in the same position. I said, you idiot. What did you marry her for? He got religion later in life. You know, it happens. You marry someone when you're 25, but in fact, he married her when he was 50. So I don't know why it counts for him. Okay, but the first, there's so many people here. You should be flattered, Jill. Your first
Thank
time,
you.
Ever, you know, Maureen just came on his board as well, and I'm glad, because the first thing we're going to do is sing. I warned everybody, we're going to sing. Cincy Recruiter, are you ready to sing?
What am I singing?
Put me in, Coach. Didn't you look at the site? Gee whiz, you're one of the special guests. Put me in, Coach. It's real easy. Only a moron couldn't do it. Put me in, Coach. I'm ready to play today. Put me in, Coach. I'm ready to play today.
Put me in,
look
coach.
At me. Look at me. I can be center field. Does anybody else know that song who's here today? Come on, speak
yes.
up. Don't be afraid.
I know the
yes.
song.
Okay.
Nope. It's
no.
yes.
Okay, we're
yes.
going to go right now. We'll just move ahead. Okay. One, two, three.
Put me in, coach.
I'm ready to play today.
Put me in, coach.
Nobody else is singing.
I'm ready to play today.
I'll play anything.
Look at me. I can be.
Center field. Yeah.
That was
okay.
beautiful.
There were three of us losers singing there. You know, people are chickens. Anyway, beat the drum and hold the phone. It's a great song. I don't know how you guys, it's a really American song, and I'm Canadian. You guys ought to be teaching me. Okay, first thing, before we get going, I want everybody to do me a favor. Don't say you're going to reach out to anybody on this show. It's driving me crazy. I can't take it anymore. Unless you're in desperate trouble, reach out in the darkness. I'll be there, okay, if I'm your coach. If I'm not, no. And I'll just tell you that I did a little research on coaching. The only thing is a woman on her site, she's a coach, she said, listen, coaching is not psychotherapy. It's mentoring and encouragement. If you've got depression or anxiety, first get rid of it, then come to me. If you're not mental, just want to get out of a rut, I'm your guy. So that's all I know about coaching. I hope you're going to tell me a little more. Jill, do you have a place you'd like to start, or should I just ask you questions?
Just ask me questions. That'd be great.
Okay, what does your coach do for you, man or woman, first of all?
A woman, and I selected my coach from three different coaches through a company called The Coach Connection. I reached out to The Coach Connection because I read an article I broke the rule. I called The Coach Connection because I read an article by Penelope Trunk, the brazen careerist columnist, about coaching. Yeah, and it was, and she had recommended to call them, so I did, and I talked to the founder, and he did kind of an intake on me, like asked me some questions about whether I was really ready for coaching and what I wanted to get out of it, and determined that I wanted to move forward, and he picked three coaches that he thought I might hit it off with. And I had a sample session with each of them. They were all women. I liked them. I liked two of them. I didn't like one of them. It was hard to pick between the two I liked. But in the end, I did go with the one that I felt in my gut, you know, was the one to go with. And she was very intuitive.
You didn't flip a coin, eh?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well,
here's what I want to know. I gravitate to what didn't you like about the one you didn't choose? Why didn't you choose her?
Well, she just did a few things that seemed amateurish to me. She asked me questions like, on a scale of 1 to 10, tell me how you like this in your life and how you like this in your work. I didn't like doing the 1 to 10 scale. And when I mentioned to her that I was into social networking and like Facebook, she said, oh, well, we'll have to connect on Facebook. Well, no. I don't want to connect with my coach on Facebook. So, you know, I felt like she didn't get me.
That's real bad, yeah. I can see why you're coming. Okay. So, okay, should we move on to the next question?
Sure.
Okay. What's a session like?
Okay. I talk to my coach about what's going on in my life at that point, what work I have to do, and how I'm going to get it done, and
no,
what I want.
No, that's not what I mean. How long is a session? Let me break it down. How long is a session?
Oh, our sessions are 50 minutes long, supposedly.
Okay.
Or an hour.
A traditional psychiatric-style session, okay.
Yeah,
and,
50
and
minutes
to
an hour.
It's on the telephone, right?
Yes.
You live in can I say where you live?
Sure, I don't mind.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's a historic town.
It's okay. It's
say.
On my Twitter. I live
okay.
in Roanoke, Virginia,
Roanoke.
which is the largest city in southwestern Virginia.
Okay, in southwestern. I guess if you make the area small enough, you're going to be the largest city later, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's off the historic city in the United States. Isn't it one of the first colonies, or isn't that what John?
No, this is a completely different. It might have been named after that. I'm not sure, but the original name of this city was Big Lick. For the
Big
salt
Lick.
For the salt that the cows used to come.
Yeah, you're in Big Lick. You're in Big Lick. Where's the coach?
The coach was in North Carolina. She has just moved to the Midwest.
The Midwest. Okay, but you can still talk to her because it's on the phone, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does she call? Who pays for the call? You or her? Does she call you, or do you call her?
I call her.
Okay, on Vonage.
Yeah.
Okay.
I blame Vonage when the sound is bad. Has it improved? Because I did turn up my volume.
Okay, it's okay. So I'm not going to get any better. I won't bug you about it.
I think
now
it sounds
okay.
just fine, Jill.
Okay.
All right, good.
Okay.
I've got a better ear than Animal does.
You know, I got to ask. I don't know if it's a good time for it, but Jerry is my S&M coach. And there's a guy on Twitter. His name is Matt Collins, and he made a point of saying that, you know, being a master of social media is a different from being a master of social ability or sociability. So you got your social and you got your media, S&M, not SM, right? I just want everyone to understand that. They've seen it on Twitter a lot lately. So we'll get to Jerry. Jerry, do you have a question for Jill before I ask her one?
No.
Does anybody have a question for Jill at this point before I ask her? I always give a lot of opportunity. People don't talk.
Is she a coach?
Jill?
What does Jill do?
She's a good coach. Wake up.
I just wondered
okay,
if
Matt,
I just wondered
I'm wondering
if,
about the one that she decided against.
She already told us, Maureen. You wake up too, okay? You two are supposed
all
to be
right.
the people who are most alert on the show.
So,
yeah.
Jill,
okay,
Jill, you are a coach then?
I'm not a coach.
Jill.
Well, I'm a freelance writer.
Was there one thing that set the one apart that she didn't care for? I'm
Maureen,
just wondering.
Yeah, she asked her
Please.
About Facebook. Didn't you hear?
I missed it.
Ears.
What?
Come on.
I did. I missed it. I'm sorry. What was it?
She wanted to talk to her link
for
on Facebook. She wanted a link to her Facebook. Hold on. Jill.
Yeah.
Jill, you listen to me,
coach,
not them,
yeah.
okay?
Okay.
Look at me.
Sorry.
Okay?
Yeah.
Give us a sample session. Tell us maybe your last session, or tell us what goes on in a session.
Well, I tell her what's going on in my work life, what I have to get done. We kind of structure some my time so that I can work on my projects and get them done, and we talk about I have some long-term goals.
Okay, so
one
time
of them,
management. Time management,
time
that's one of the
management.
Big issues.
It's huge. Yeah, it's huge.
And she
okay,
let you come on this program?
What did you say? Hey, that's Carl Chapman, the Rottweiler. Forget about him for a sec. Okay, so time management. And Jill is a freelance writer. That's what she does. You work on
right.
your own home. There are lots of
right.
distractions, right? Like Twitter.
A lot of distractions,
okay.
including Twitter, you know.
Yeah.
Who do you write for?
Okay, so
who does she write for?
I write for insurance companies mostly and companies that trade publications about employee benefits. But I also do conference. I also do conference programming, where I recruit and manage. And
are you talking to Maureen? Or are you talking to me? People don't care what you do. They want to know what happens in the coaching session.
Okay, fine.
Don't listen
well,
to her.
I'm independent.
I asked if they had a question. Now it's my turn. Okay, I'll hand it over in a few minutes.
Bill Borman's show is a lot more friendly.
I'm here. Listen, hey, Jerry.
I just wondered if I really just wondered if at Big Lick Ellswick was available on Twitter.
That's pretty good. That's a good website as well.
It won't be in about an hour.
That was in
the end. Jason will have it. Okay, time out. You got the time management. What else do you talk about with her? I mean, she's not a writer herself. How does she advise you in your business? Does she advise you in your business?
Yes. We talk about things that I do that we're trying to find a way that I can make money doing what I like to do. And I've been involved in social media for like a year now, very heavily on it a lot. And most recently, we've been trying to put together a business plan for me to help local businesses establish a presence on Twitter, but I haven't gotten as far as to put that package together and offer it to anyone yet.
Is that her fault or yours?
That's my fault. That's totally my fault.
Isn't she supposed to support you in getting things done?
Well, she gave me great ideas. Great ideas, you know, stuff I wouldn't have come up with by myself, but it really is up to me to put that together into a package and to market it.
No, it's her job to support you. Isn't she your accountability partner? I got that from Jerry. He told me about it.
Accountability partner, yes.
A coach doesn't get in the game, Animal. A coach doesn't get on the field.
They don't do the work for you, Animal. They hold
you
accountable.
They get thrown out.
She gave me the ideas. It's up to me to do it.
What's your coach's background? It's the last question for now. What's her qualifications to give you business advice?
None.
You know what? This is where I'm going to stumble because I forget what her. I know she studied coaching and has a business background and runs her own business, but I.
Okay,
to be honest,
I'm going to give
know.
You a chance to relax. Okay, you take a relax for a second.
Cincy
Recruiter.
Yes, sir.
Cincy Recruiter, are you there?
I am.
What have I not asked Jill that I should know? First of all, what's your history with coaches? Are you a coach or are you a coach user? I'm not clear on that.
I am both. I have
used a
career coach, a life coach,
uh-huh.
a sales coach, and I am an executive coach.
Okay.
Jerry let out a big sigh.
So tell us, who was your first coach? Why did you pick that person? What did they do for you? What were your sessions like? And is there anything that I should have asked Jill that I didn't so far?
I don't really know what you might should have asked Jill.
You don't know. Go ahead then, answer the question.
My first coach was a career coach. So the company I worked for was sold. I found myself without a job. I wanted to probably do something different. And I wanted to make sure that I went about that in a structured way. So
Let me ask you a question. You were a VP of HR. You were responsible for recruiting. You were responsible for managing the people in the company. You didn't know anything about managing your own career. You had to go to a coach, of all people.
Amazing, isn't it? Yes.
Why? Tell us. That's what that...
Well,
this is for Jerry. Jerry said something's wrong with the people.
The guy who called me. Whatever. As far as managing my own career, I mean, I felt like it was time for a new phase in my career. I had an idea of what I wanted to do, and what I wanted to do was to have someone really make sure I crossed off all the T's and dotted the I's and going through that process. So I think it's good. It's like I have a personal trainer that I work with at the gym. I can go and lift weights, and I can eat less and exercise more, but I have someone who's an expert in that, who keeps me in a track, who gives me ideas of things to do, and who holds me accountable. And I felt that I needed the same thing as far as pursuing the next step in my career.
Do you ever experience brilliant insight from your coach, stuff that you would have never come up with yourself, and you're thinking, wow,
that is
amazing.
As far as the career coach, I don't know that it was amazing insights. It was more having somebody outside of myself look at how I was going about things, because I think we tend to we see what we want to see and we go after it. So, for example, on my resume, when I engaged a career coach, I felt that I didn't need help with writing a resume or with interviewing because I'd been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
But what we forget is writing your own resume and taking yourself kind of out of the box and looking at your resume in a different view is a very different tool. So I wrote my resume. I was very attached to it, and he gave me some insight into things that probably should be changed or made different or did I think about this? And a lot of his feedback I actually resisted. And I actually use my resume now, 3.5 years later, that I created during that time as a great example of what not to do, because now I'm 3.5 years removed from it, and I can look at it and see that all the things that he was trying to get me to pay attention to, I wasn't listening. So I think a coach can only lead you so far. You can resist the coach, but having someone to question you, if you listen to them and they know what they're doing, they can help you make something better than what you can do yourself.
Okay. Now, how did you pick your coach?
I picked my coach, it was kind of random, about a month before I knew my job was going to be ending, about a month before I got a recruiting email, because the coach I actually engaged is here at Centennial where I work as a recruiter. So a recruiting networking
they hired,
email.
I know your coach hired you in the end, right?
Well, the firm hired me where he works.
Okay,
but,
right.
But I got
okay.
a recruiting email, and I went to the website and saw that they offered career coaching, and I knew I was going to need that. So that's
what do you mean you got a recruiting email? What's that? Is that something we should all know about as recruiters?
Well, whether you like them or not, I mean, a networking email saying that you know, they had sent out to their database that they were hiring for this type of position, and somebody that I knew forwarded it to me. I wasn't interested in the position, but I went to the website, saw that they had career coaching, and I was interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can I just say something to Jason Alba? He's listening to the show. He thinks he can log into Blog Talk Radio and chat with me. No. You chat with me on Twitter like everybody else does, and I'll see it. I can't keep track of, like, 9 different channels, okay? I don't have a secretary. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Where were we?
Man.
I don't know.
The tone. It's screw off, Jason. Wow.
But
yeah.
Jerry,
step
off.
Well, Jerry, to your question about were there aha moments as far as working with a sales coach, I have worked with a sales
yeah.
coach and helping me kind of hone my business development skills, which
yeah.
I didn't necessarily yeah. get in HR. Definitely a lot of ahas there, a lot of someone
okay,
bringing
you tell
something.
Us about that, then we'll move on to Kevin.
Okay, someone bringing something, you know, more experience in that arena to the table, helping me to see things that I can try.
No, give us an example, concrete examples. Don't make people imagine it themselves, okay?
A concrete
Help
example
us.
Of how to conduct the sales, the first meeting. You know, how to ask questions to get at what the need
give us,
is.
What questions did he tell you to ask?
Well, the questions on, you know, what's your budget? What experience have you had with recruiters in the past? What are the gaps that you've seen? What are you looking for in potentially engaging a recruiter for this assignment? What do you think, you know, we can bring to the table and how can we help you versus going in and just saying, I can help you, I can fill the position, here's all my experience and here's what I do well, which is selling, versus the real business development is finding out the need. And my sales coach was able to help me see the difference and also
yeah,
keep me
is someone calling from
call
under
that
water?
Person,
I keep hearing, like, waves going by. Can anybody else hear that? It's really irritating.
Oh,
no?
It's got to be my office fan. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Jill.
Hey, I've got a question, though, just for the groove, Animal.
Yeah, go ahead.
What Cincy Recruiter just described there was a sales trainer. And I fully understand needing to be trained in areas that you're not experienced in. But why does everybody have to call themselves a coach?
The difference with the sales, it was a coach, a person who met with me once every 2 weeks, who not just helped me understand the process, but
yeah.
then also coached me afterwards. What went well? What could you have done different? What do you think, you know, you need to do next
okay.
time? So a coach is someone who not only helps guide you with what you need to do, but also listens to what you did and helps you figure out what went well and what went wrong.
So it's training and then follow-up, more of a mentorship program, which is coaching. Okay.
Sure.
I just wanted to clarify that for myself.
Okay,
sorry.
Jill, let me, since you recruited very good, I'll put you to the side for a second. Last thing, how'd you find that sales coach? Since Jill went to a website called Coach's Corner that she saw Penelope.
The Coach Connection,
to.
Yeah.
She was recommended to me by 2 other recruiters who were using her.
Oh, really? Yeah. And where, is she in Cincinnati as well, or is she somewhere else?
She's in Cincinnati.
Oh, did you meet her face-to-face or on the phone?
Face-to-face.
Did
All my
help?
Coaching has been face-to-face.
Does that help, you think? Is it different?
For me, absolutely. And as far as me with my executive coaching, I only do face-to-face coaching. I don't do over the phone.
Okay, somebody's in the water again. I don't know if they want
yeah, it's
to
not me this time.
Show. Okay, I don't know who's doing it. Okay, Kevin Kermass, you still there?
I am, sir.
Now, you used to be a captain in the military, am I right?
First lieutenant, but I appreciate the promotion.
Well, first lieutenant,
so.
Sorry. Okay, right. So I don't know if a lieutenant or a captain is more senior. I don't know anything about that stuff. But, you know, we imagine somebody in the military has a little backbone, and this person was telling me that people are using coaches, you know, or people who can't, like, go to the washroom and wipe themselves without some help. Is it true or not?
I don't think that's an accurate depiction. No, you know,
okay.
I mean, for me, what a coach has done is given me, you know, kind of allowed me to step out and look at things in a little bit different light. And I mean, sometimes it's good information, sometimes it's bad. But you know, somebody who's going to tell you sometimes that your baby's ugly, and help you kind of fix things up and get you on the right track, so that you can not put emotion over intelligence, particularly when it comes down to your business. I mean, as a sole business owner, you're emotionally tied to everything you do. It's a very tough thing to separate yourself out from. So getting a good one, I think there's a lot of value, but there's also a lot out there that aren't good.
Now, what kind of coach do you have, a business coach or a life coach or a sales coach?
No, business coach, and somebody who's centered around informational products, and the way that I chose her was, and I've listened to her for years, and
now you're a recruiter. You're a software sales recruiter, right?
No, not anymore. I sold out my share of my firm last year, and now I just focus on providing solutions for individual job seekers.
Well, so you're a coach now, but when you started
right.
using your coach, were you a recruiter, or since is it after that?
The first coach that I used a guy, Gary Staubel, with the recruiting lab for the search firm, and through him I found the coach that I use now. So I listened to her for several years, didn't really engage her, but liked her style. When I transitioned over to what I'm doing now, I knew, you know, I can do this one of two ways. I can sit here and try to figure it out myself, or I can go find somebody who's been highly successful using the same sort of model I plan to use, and I engaged her, and it's made a big difference. There's no doubt I can attribute ramp up time and revenue to her very simply. It's not this ethereal stuff. It's paid off enormously.
Want to give us an example? Concrete.
Yeah, I run a mastermind program. I run a boot camp. The boot camp's kind of an evolution of some other things that I've done. Both of those came straight out of, you know, the concepts that I had, but fine-tuning that she put on it. And I would say I could probably attribute a good, you know, $75,000 to $100,000 that came out of those ideas easily that I'm not sure I would have – eventually maybe I would have come up with. She got me there a lot quicker. So
you know, you just knocked the wind out of me. You just
like
knocked
it.
The wind out of me.
I'm all about coaching. I'm in.
The coach.
I love
yeah.
it.
So, I mean, and that's it. I mean, that really, to me, in the simplest of terms is, as long as you have a way to, you know, quantify it, determine what your goals are and measure it, then you find out whether it's good or not. It's you know, the folks who I think coach and kind of coach by feel, and it's kind of like the therapist who doesn't plan on working towards an end state, but is just going to have you there forever because they got to pay their mortgage, they got to send their kid to school, you know, they've got a certain amount of people that they're trying to generate revenue. That to me is kind of a life coach, somebody who's there to bend your ear, and I don't feel like I need that coaching to accomplish specific objectives and get revenue in quicker. If somebody defines that as being, you know,
okay, yeah, yeah,
weak,
yeah. Listen,
yeah.
The Cincy recruiter. Wait a second, Kevin. Cincy recruiter. She said, "I'm tough," and I told my coach, "No way, I'm not changing my resume." He had to persuade her. I assume
right.
she didn't tell us how, that it was a reasonable thing to do.
No,
he
never did.
To tell you?
He never did. I didn't listen to him on that particular piece of advice, and a good coach can't make you do anything. They can try to lead you there and help you see the difference with their experience, but, you know, you can always say no.
Totally
I admire
agree.
You for saying no, but, Kevin, have you ever done that? You tell your coach, no, I'm not doing that, honey.
Yeah, and I explain why, and then if they can, and that's where picking out a coach that has a, you know, has a personality and a style that's gonna fit you. I'm not looking there to be, you know, led to water by anybody. You need to explain it a little bit, and I may push back, and if it makes sense and you make a compelling argument, yeah, I'll try it. If you don't, you know,
yeah,
if the person's weak-willed, yeah.
In my career coaching experience, there were several things that I pushed back on, and some of them I eventually gave in, and now, again, I use those as an example of where by listening to him and finally doing what he suggested, I started getting results. The only reason I changed the way I was doing things is because I wasn't getting results doing it my way. I'm a little hard-headed. So I was doing it my way. It wasn't working. He was saying, I think you should try this. Here's how it can make you successful. He put it out there. Finally, I came and grabbed it, and then I started seeing results.
I got a question. Hold on a second. Don't these coaches, shouldn't they be able to make good enough business cases to sway you guys rather than telling you something and having you not realize how valuable it is what they're saying?
You're dealing with individuals.
Well, and I think ultimately they do. And that's, you know, to Cincy Recruiter's point, you know, I mean, if they don't make a compelling argument, then you don't do it. And the onus is on them.
So what I'm saying is, even if they give you good advice, if they can't sell you, maybe they're not the best coach. Yes or no? I want to go back to Jill. Yes or no on that? Nobody's got anything to
say. What do you mean?
I win.
Who are you? My coach has never had a bad idea, so.
Is this Jill?
My coach is
Jill Ellswick?
Yes.
Jill Ellswick?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, your coach
this
has
is
never
me.
Had a bad idea.
Her ideas have always been good. You know, in my
give me
experience.
Some examples.
So.
Did she ever say something that you said your first reaction was that this is a no?
Well, she said some things that I didn't really want to do, but they weren't really no's. They were just more like, well, that's going to make me feel uncomfortable, but you know, how am I going to get through it? You know.
Hey,
so
Animal, I think it's important to draw the distinction though between consulting and coaching. You're talking about a consultant who comes in and says, from my experience and here's the results, the ROI I can get you, you need to do these things because I'm telling you to do so. That's a compelling business case for a consultant. A coach's job is to draw out from the individual what they need to do so they own it and they'll go do it. If they don't own it, then they won't do it.
When I signed up for the coaching service, I was told, you know, this is not, your coach will not be a consultant. Specifically, that word was singled out as what a coach is not.
Okay, who's got the phone going there? Come on. You know, nobody can hear. First we got the wave. Someone's at the beach. Now, look.
Again,
I want to
mention, this kind of stuff doesn't happen on Bill Borman's show.
Yes, it does. There's plenty of noise there.
He
depends on you to be the policeman. Jill.
Yes.
I got to tell you, I was pretty impressed. I know Cincy Recruiter's a moneymaker. At least that's my impression. This guy, Kevin, actually quoted us big bucks. Are you blown away by that? And are you going to go back to your coach and say, hey, how come I'm not in the money?
No. No, that's not why I'm in coaching. That's not why I'm in coaching right now. No. I mean, I'm in coaching not to have her tell me what to do, but I am in coaching to find out what is the right work position for me, whether that is to continue as a freelancer or to get a full-time job, whether to stay in Roanoke or to move to a larger place. Those are things I'm dealing with right now. So,
what does that mean to be dealing with them? I want the Cincy Recruiter to talk to you for a second. Cincy, Jennifer, should she be asking the coach something that comes to mind for you? What should she be working with? From a career point of view, how should she be working with her coach? Any ideas?
Well, it sounds like she's pleased with how it's going with her coach, so I don't know that she should do anything different. If she feels like, but what you're missing, what I believe you're missing is that a coach helps an individual explore what's within them.
Yeah.
And they don't tell them what to do. So if her coach, she feels like she's getting results because her coach is drawing out of her what she wants to do. You're feeling like the coach should be saying, you need to do this, this, and this, and she needs to check those boxes and say, I was successful because I followed all the steps my coach took.
Right. That is absolutely what the coach does not do. That's how it was explained to me when I first signed on.
Jill, what does it mean bringing out what you want? I mean, like, I don't get it. I mean, like, if you're doing something wrong and you don't know what's right, shouldn't the coach suggest something to you and try to, you know, make a case that this is what you should be doing?
A consultant would. Not a coach, right?
Okay, I get it.
You have to try a lot of things. You have to try a lot of things, and time has to go by, and you have to decide whether you're happy with what you're doing. And that doesn't, you know, come overnight. So,
can I ask one question?
Yes.
And you don't have to be specific, or you can just give me a range. But what does a coach charge? I mean, how much does
this cost? Oh, sure. I don't mind telling you that – I pay for my coaching sessions in packages of 4 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I get coached every 2 weeks. And it for me, not for everyone who uses this service, but in my case, it costs $450 per four pack.
Okay.
So
$112.50 an hour.
How much is a 6-pack? Sorry.
Nice. What was that?
Anybody else got a question? Anybody else got a question?
Rayanne had a comment. Rayanne had a question on Twitter.
Rayanne, what's Rayanne's question?
What's the difference between
reading a self-help book and getting F to F with a mentor? Does anybody want to say, Jill? Jill.
Wait a minute. Can you ask the question again?
What is the difference? You can pass on it if you don't want to answer. What's the difference between reading a self-help book, I can answer this question, and getting face-to-face with a mentor? I'd say babysitting and accountability are the difference.
Reading a self-help book is usually boring, and getting help from someone, and I get help on the phone exclusively, is just good for me. I like to talk to people. I would rather work out problems through talking than through reading a book with no interaction.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds like about $730 difference.
But you know what? You can't get wrapped around the axle about the money if you're going to get a return on your investment.
Exactly.
You know, if there's value there, and if it's not, it'll be a self-evident truth. You look at it and go, I'm not paying $700 to figure out, you know, X, Y, or Z. So that's where the money part becomes very. I mean, it's totally a moving mark, and it's relative to what you're looking to accomplish.
Also, there's no one there to challenge you. You might read something and say, I agree or I disagree, but there's no one there to challenge you. And
that coach isn't going to follow you around the rest of your life and say, get up out of bed. Okay, now brush your teeth. Okay, now you need to call that client. So at some point, you're going to have to step up and take responsibility for yourself and your own actions.
Right.
Well, question for Taylor.
Of course.
Hey, this is
Jeff
Peterson.
Hold on a second. The research goddess wants to say something, at least it sounds like she does, to support her friend. Her friend's doing okay. The Cincy recruiter doesn't need your support, but really, I know you're there, so say something. You want to say something? No. Okay. She's your friend, though, Cincy recruiter. She's your Cincinnati friend. Okay. I just want to see. No, Kevin is actually the guy. He's actually quoted us a number. It's unbelievable to me. This is the shocker of the show for me, okay? Now, I want to know, go back to Jill. Jill seems to like what she's getting, but you seem to think that life coaching is too vague and amorphous for you. Is there something that you would advise her to do with her coach, Kevin?
No. I mean, and it is for this point in my life. If I had some crossroads I was at and couldn't figure out where to go or was looking to make a major change like she's looking, I might engage somebody who I thought could help get me there quicker. If I thought they could help get me there quicker, absolutely, I'd see the value in it. I'm not there right now, so I'm good to go in that regard.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
I had some personal things to work out. So with my coach, we had to, and I won't go into details, but I had some things to work out, and she does have, now that I look at it, a background in counseling and HR and training.
That you look at it, after 2 years, how was it, a year, 2 years?
Well, but she's good. If she's good, why do I care? You know, like,
right.
She's good.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it sounds more like a shrink than a coach.
But
yeah.
She's not. No, a shrink doesn't, no. A shrink just prescribes you meds, right? And a psychologist just wants to listen to your stories. But she's somewhere in
the middle. Get a dog.
No, boy, Rayanne's really tough.
I got to
tell you.
I have cats. What? Yeah. I have cats, and I talk to myself, plenty. But,
well, that explains the coach. She has cats and talks to herself.
Okay, now I want to talk to Cincy Recruiter and Kevin about coaching, because Cincy Recruiter does executive coaching. What's that?
Executive coaching is working with business leaders. They're typically in place, and we're working on business behaviors to get them to the next level or improve in their current.
So is this a typical, HR thing? I mean, I've recruited trainers for executives in large companies. Is that something that you were responsible for when you were in HR?
Recruiting executives?
No, training executives.
Both, yes.
So is this just building on what you already know, or what's your basis for working with executives?
Well, I've actually been trained in a process, and I follow a process. So it's a defined engagement of 3 months, and then they can extend if we want. But part of that is getting at what's holding them back. So it's the first probably third of the engagement is really working with them on identifying what's holding them back.
Give us an example. Can you give us an example?
It could be they lack confidence, or they have poor leadership skills, or they're not effective at making decisions, or they have poor communication skills.
Okay, so let's pick somebody who's got poor leadership skills. How would you figure that out, or would they come to you with that problem? Would their like HR manager say, you got to go to this woman or we're going to fire you?
Well, it typically starts, I'm usually brought in by someone in HR or the CEO or someone who says, you know, either we want to promote this person, like one of my clients recently, they wanted to promote her to a board-level position, but they felt like she lacked confidence, and she was always telling people at the C-level and the board level what they wanted to hear versus what she really thought. So
then why would she promote? Why would she even get promoted to begin with?
Because she was very talented at what she was doing. And
yeah,
so
I got my other guess, but
bringing me in to work with her to help figure out, you know, number one, how she could interact with them better, have more of an executive presence, and actually have confidence in her ideas and what they already believed in her about to be able to interact with those people and share what she really felt. Well, it broke down to, I mean, it was confidence. It was not having confidence in her ability to speak well at that level. It was a lot of things. So it tends to be you get brought in for a high-level issue, but
okay,
you have to break
okay,
down
okay,
to lower.
Okay, so that's the problem. First of all, I have a question how they got to you, but that's another issue. First, I want to ask, you can actually give people confidence? You, Jennifer McClure,
no.
Can give people confidence, yes?
No, we can identify what they are not confident about. I had another client who is a C-level individual at a very large company, and he was basically afraid of failing. And once we sat down and talked about what failure would really look like, that as talented as he was, as marketable as he was, even if he failed and got fired, he'd be snatched up in a minute and probably make more money. That was the trigger for him to go, you know, I can take risks, I can do more, I can be more, and I don't have to worry about failing because I can actually succeed somewhere else.
And that's all he needed, or did he have to call you back, like, to follow up on it for 6 months, which is what I would assume, because
nope.
Changing your personality traits is not easy.
Nope, we finished
right.
Our engagement in 12 weeks, but we've remained. He is probably my biggest supporter. He feels like the work that we did changed the way he goes about his work and his life.
Wow, okay, Kevin, you're a coach as well, right?
Right.
Tell us something about your coaching.
I work with people who are in the midst of their job search and just want somebody who's there one-on-one providing advice, and part of it is mapping out, you know, using social media, working around job boards, identifying and connecting with people directly. So it's and typically it's more senior executives who are used to engaging counsel, and most people it's not the first time they've had a coach. So they're looking for somebody to work with them one-on-one going through their job search.
So
and then
here's what I'm hearing.
Sure.
Let me just get successful people use coaches, right? That's what everyone's telling me?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
Jerry, do you hear that?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. So, Kevin, how do they find you?
Most are through free webinars that I run, through the blog that I push out, and people coming to the website, signing up for the newsletter.
Okay. When you were a recruiter, you had a newsletter with 14,000
right.
people that you sent out. Is that the same network?
No, actually, interestingly enough, it was hard to transition people from that to the concept of what I was doing. And I have 21,000 readers for the newsletter now. I would say maybe 10-20% came over from the search firm. That's it.
You built a newsletter? Did you buy a list or something?
Nope.
How do you
nope.
do that?
Just blogging and article syndication and pushing messages out there.
I like you. My gut feeling about you, I've known you for maybe 2 years. I like you. I trust you. But I can't believe it's true. Because what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
I don't have 20,000 people following my groups. I don't get
that's
it.
You know what, Animal? That's a whole other show. But for me, I know that it's an anomaly, and it has everything to do with the amount of pain that people are in going through their job search. There is no way, honestly, there is no way that I could have done and built out a list that quickly centered around the job search 5 years ago when unemployment was, you know, 6.5%. At 9.5%, and when you look where it's centered around major metropolitan areas like New York and then out on the West Coast in California where they've got like 11-12% unemployment, people are coming in droves. They need answers. They're in a tremendous amount of pain. And that's where it comes from. And, you know, you push good information out and people are going to gravitate towards it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now not the economy is still bad. Not everybody you work with can get a job. Does anyone come back to you and complain?
Very rarely. I've had some people that any of the programs I run maybe weren't for them, and if they're not happy, I hand them their money back. I mean, it's that simple.
Oh, yeah?
It's been very low, and there's no bad press out there, and I don't want any. So if they're not happy, you know, drive on. Go find somebody else.
Anybody want to ask some questions? Come on, we got 15 minutes left.
Questions? I want to ask a question, Animal.
Go ahead, Bill Borman. You have a coach too, right?
I have a coach as well. Yeah, I have a business coach who works with me on the business. And the question I want to ask Jill is, when you have your meetings, who sets your agenda? Is it something you set, or does your coach set it?
Well, I'm somewhat of a free-form person, and I don't like having agendas. So she works with me a little differently than she does with her other clients. We just talk about whatever, and that's just how it works for me. So.
Right. When you start a coaching session, how do you determine what you're going to talk about in that session, or is it just talking?
It's whatever I want to talk about, and it's usually about work and where work is at that point, or perhaps some personal things that have arisen in my life that were unexpected. But it's usually about work.
Okay. When you get to the end of your session, do you agree your goals of what you're going to do before you have your next meeting and then review them?
Yes. She takes notes while we talk, and then she sends them to me in my email, and it's great. I mean, she takes great notes, and I have action items every single time.
Right. That's how I work with my coach, and that's really what a good coach should be doing, in my opinion.
Yeah, but what if you don't succeed? The action items are first of all, if you got a problem, maybe we're dealing with super people and, you know, all these Cincy Recruiter and Kevin and Jill, they can do a lot of things just by saying, you have to do this, and they do it. Most people, I think if something's difficult, they have to break it into very small segments, and they still have a hard time getting it done. Is that Jill?
Right.
What if you don't succeed? Does she tell you? What does she do to you? How does she punish you?
No, she doesn't punish me. That's crazy. I mean, it's up to me to do what I want to do, and if I come back the next time and I say, I really didn't hit it off with this idea that you had for me, then we try to figure out something else that I'm going to like that means something.
No. If she told you to make some cold calls and you didn't have the guts to call strangers, you know, what's she going to do? Say, oh, it's your choice, I'm not responsible?
Hey,
of course
Animal,
she's responsible.
Can I answer? This is Jennifer. I can answer
yeah.
that. It is, again, it's about drawing out of the person. What you want to get the person to set agreement on is what is the goal they want to accomplish. Then you ask them how they expect to achieve it, and you hold them accountable to their own path. So if you tell me you're going to make 2 phone calls every day, and then next week we meet and we don't, you have to be accountable to yourself. I can only remind you that this was your goal.
I'm having trouble making cold calls, and I'm talking with a coach, the coach should come up with some way that works
a consultant. You will pay for a trainer or a consultant. A coach will get you to figure out what you can do so you can own it, and you will achieve it or not based on whether or not
you're getting into the airy-fairy stuff.
I think this is a really important point, because a coach won't tell you to do anything. You tell the coach what you're going to do, and you agree that. A trainer or a consultant tells you what you're going to do next.
And that's why training doesn't stick.
I wouldn't necessarily agree training doesn't stick, but I think what you agree with your coach is that you need training, and they invariably recommend a trainer. You know, that's how it works with my coach. What happens? I tell my coach what I'm going to do next, and it's down to me to deliver that.
Okay, hold on, Bill. Now here you're another guy. We don't know that much about you. We're on the other side of the ocean, but we get the impression from you that you're a very successful trainer. You were a successful headhunter. Now you go around the United Kingdom training people on recruiting. Now, so a successful guy again. We assume you're successful. Why are you using a coach? What made you decide to use a coach? And what does that coach do for you? Because I assume that you're a good businessman already.
What my coach does for me is I have 101 ideas floating around in my head and lots of projects, and my coach will talk to me about what I'm working on and help me bring some structure to that. And they ask me questions that make me make decisions for myself about, actually, that's a really stupid idea. I should never have done that. Or this is a good idea. We're going to go in that direction. What they don't do is turn around and tell me it's a stupid idea. So for me, you know, I just go off and do my own thing and get lost without a coach to help me decide what should be in that plan. And that's what my coach does for me. They meet with me twice a month and they speak to me at least once a week on the phone. And just help me to make my own decisions by asking me the right questions.
Yeah, okay. And what about the guy with the cemetery? He wants to be buried in a different religion cemetery than his wife is going to be buried in. What would you say to him? I mean, I would say it's crazy. It's stupid. But you're saying the coach wouldn't, right?
The coach wouldn't. The coach would turn around and say, well, what do you want to do? What's the strong point
of
being buried with her?
Yeah, I know. The coach would say, look, you want to have sex again, and you're in your marriage. I mean, that's the obvious question there. I didn't tell you the full story, by the way.
What the coach would say is, how much do you want to have sex in your marriage, and what are you prepared to give up in order to have it?
No, I think it's you want to, period, maybe in the next life. Anybody else? There's 17 people here. Anybody have some questions for Jill? Or you can ask Jill or Bill, or Cincy Recruiter, or Kevin.
Yeah, this is Carla, and I have a question.
Go ahead, Carla. Carla Porter.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to know, for the coaches that are on the line, you know, how long does it take to get your coaches' buy-in? In other words, for them to feel comfortable with you to truly open up. And I'd like to ask Jill or anyone else on the line, Bill, who has or currently uses a coach.
You know, ask one question at a time.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You know, when you go to a lecture and they ask a question and someone asks nine, I'll give you it back, Carla. Jill, how do they get buy-in? Or is that the question? Say that question again, will you?
Yeah, how long does it take for the coachee to buy in? To get the buy-in.
And who's banging their phone on the table?
You mean how long before the person feels comfortable with the coach? Or?
Yeah, generally, on average. So you're talking about, usually you're talking about strangers, people you don't know, I assume.
Well, for me anyway, I felt comfortable with my coach immediately. So, you know, we hit it off. So, and, you know, I knew it was going, I trusted that she would be confidential in everything that we talked about. So, and I was told not to hold back. That was one of the key things. Tell everything. So.
I found my coach I needed about 2 sessions before I was completely comfortable with him. And it was when I was starting to get some early results from what they were giving me that made me say, this is a guy I want to stick with.
Okay, the reason I asked the question is, in a corporate setting where I knew the staff, I mean, I served in the role of coach many times. However, personally, I think that I would have difficulty being the coachee with a person that I don't know, and I don't know. I think it would take me a lot longer. So I was just curious about
that. I would think that has a lot to do with the environment, because when somebody's removed, and particularly when, you know, they're coaching just you and you're paying them or you know, they're paying you, and they're somewhat removed from the situation, it's probably a little bit different. So I would think some of that has to do with that dynamic itself. That would be my first thought.
Mhm.
And you felt,
I think it's important,
comfortable with your. Go ahead. Somebody else talk. I don't have to talk.
Well, that's me. I think it's important to feel comfortable with your coach. So,
I think a good coach is going to do that up front. They're going to take the time and they have a good sense of what works for them and what doesn't. You know, because it has so much to do with mindset. It has so much to do with personality, because it is going to be, depending upon what you're being coached on, it is going to be highly personal, and you do need to open up, and a good coach is going to have a sense
of... We're talking to generalities now. Here, let me ask you a concrete question. How do you break up with your coach? How do you decide, the results, like Bill said, he got results, he felt good. How do you start saying, do you do a regular performance review every 3 months and say, well, I'm still making the big bucks. I think the coach has added $50,000 to my income the last 3 months. And then when you start seeing the revenues are going down and you're not as happy with the advice, you say, I think I've worn this person out. I should find somebody else.
My clients do a midpoint evaluation, and if the company engages me, I meet with the executive contact as well as the coaching client, and they both fill out an evaluation. Are you seeing results? You know, what's working, what's not working? and then also at the end of the 12 weeks. So a midpoint and an end point, checkpoint.
Yeah, but yours is a little different, Jennifer, because yours is a contract for a certain amount of time. A question comes up there. Are these people, like, for instance, you talked, you're dealing with someone who lacks confidence. Do they have the guts to tell you that, you know, it's not working out? Or if you keep objective records all the way through, and a third party could just take a look and see what, you know, the both of you have said you thought you accomplished there.
About half of my clients, I'm engaged by the company for someone in the company. So I have someone I have to show and deliver results to. As far as the individual,
yeah,
it's probably more likely that I would break up with them than with me, if they're not, you know, holding themselves accountable, if they're not participating.
You're a very ethical person, I assume, just like Kevin, who will pay back
hope.
To people. Most people would not do that. I can't believe most recruiters would not give back money. Okay.
I can't imagine that it would be any fun for anybody if we're not getting results. Why continue this just to get paid? Why?
You're exactly right.
It's a painful process and it sucks. And
it's going to damage your reputation.
And a good coach is going to walk away from that and see the greater good. So.
So I agree with that. Sorry, Bill.
I agree with that totally. I've probably, whenever we've been either coaching or training, we've probably walked away from a lot more contracts than probably anything we've ever been asked not to do. Because when you see you're not getting results, you know you need to move on to something else. Because it's also takes quite you invest quite a lot of emotion into making the coaching work. And if you're not getting results, people aren't following what's agreed, that's the time when you say, look, I'm not the right person for you. And quite often what you're saying is you don't need a coach, you need a consultant because you need someone to come and tell you.
Jill, you got the stage for closing. There's something you'd like to say.
Well, I would like to say that during one of my sessions, just to give an example of something that might be a little different, my coach helped me figure out what my values were. And we took a whole session, and it was a lot of hard work, you know, just thinking and talking. And we came up with five things. And the top value that we came up with, was a need to be part of a team, mutual respect and need. That is in conflict with my being at home and working at home as a freelancer. So going forward, I'm looking for opportunities to put my values in line with what I do. And she helped me figure that out. And it surprised me. It surprised me.
Excuse me. Did you learn anything from listening to these other coaches, Bill, Kevin, and Jennifer today?
Yes, because they're using coaching differently than I am. I mean, I'm starting kind of like a baseline getting to know myself and what I want to do with my life, you know, even though I am in midlife. But they're using coaches for specific, very specific business goals. And I think that's fascinating and cool. So.
But you didn't hear anything that they said that you'd like to apply to your own coaching now?
No, because it's very personal. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other last words? Jennifer, you were going to say something?
I was just saying that, you know, sometimes breaking up with someone or telling them that you need to break up is often when they come to the realization that they actually have to do the work. So sometimes you have to be willing to walk away in order to get the person to engage in the process.
Should we sing Breaking Up Is Hard to Do before we leave? Kevin, your turn. Kevin, last words?
No, nothing else to add.
Nothing else? Bill, do you have something? You always have something to say. Anybody want to say something? 1 minute left.
The most important point, I think, that was made is if you're thinking about using a coach, make sure what you want is a coach, not a consultant or a trainer, because
that's where the coach pulls down. Now, I got a song here. Just want to say Lucy Feliciano in Puerto Rico asked me to close with this song. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Animal.
Go ahead.